to Positive Choice Talk Radio. This is Barb Schwerz, and thanks so much for tuning in. You are now listening to Staging Life with Barb, and every Monday from 2 to 3, it's my joy to share ideas with you and visit with those of you that call in, and also to have special guests. And today we have two very special guests. One is going to be on the air with us at about 2:15, and her name is Mary Gullickson. Mary is a set decorator in Hollywood, and that is going to be so fun. What do you think, Eric?
Sounds real interesting.
She has so much knowledge and is eager to share with us. She's an accredited staging professional as well. And so it's going to be a real joy getting to interview Mary about her work and also about some of the Hollywood stars.
Are we going to get some dirt, maybe?
You know me, I'm always in the positive.
Oh, well, maybe there's positive dirt.
Well, you never know. So, Mary is so fun. She reminds me of a friendly Bette Midler. Not that Bette Midler isn't fun, because she is. However, Mary is someone that I know very well and just treasure our relationship. And so I'm looking forward to visiting with her. And anybody that wants to call in and ask Mary a question with me, please do so. Then, at about 2:45, we have another special guest, and that is going to be Dana Bieber, and she's with Coldwell Banker on Whidbey Island. She's also an accredited staging professional, realtor, and I want to check in with her about the real estate market and the stagings that she's doing, and just get her opinion on a lot of things that are going on in real estate in general. So how's your week been, Eric?
Very good. Sounds like a great lineup, by the way.
Really is. We've got a lot of things to visit about, and I just love this time every week when I get to share with people, and we are spreading the word. I just put an ad in the Whidbey Record over on Whidbey Island to have people call in and listen, and that came out a week ago, so hope some of the listeners there will do that. And then I want to invite all of my friends and people that I'm meeting, and hopefully that will call in the future to our hour together in the greater Northwest.
Great.
The first thing I wanted to start with today was a quote from Emily Dickinson. I just love some of her writing. And she said, "Not knowing when the dawn will come, I open every door." And I love that because as life presents itself to us, we have the opportunity to say, you know, do I make that move? Do I take that step? Do I change careers? Do I do this or not? And as we think about the opportunities that do present themselves, it's what I like to call, Eric, getting out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something we can practice every single day. And now, everyone listening, I want to introduce Eric also because he is who I think of you as our producer and production man. And why don't you tell everybody a little bit about what you do in the studio?
I engineer the broadcast, so I'm running the equipment here.
Well, we wouldn't be here without you.
Well, true enough.
This is very true. How long have you been with the station?
About 4 years now.
About 4 years.
Yeah.
And have you seen a lot of changes?
Oh, you better believe it. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. When I started here, it was actually a solid gold soul R&B station. So
really?
There's been a lot of changes, yeah, but all for the better, I think.
That's really, really great. And where did you work before? Were you in this business or in another business?
Yeah, I've been in this business for about 9 years, and I worked up in Ketchikan, Alaska, and Juneau, Alaska, and Tacoma, Washington. So
wow, were you born in Alaska?
Nope, actually born down in Redding, California.
Well, you've been all over.
There you are, yeah.
Well, we're very grateful. I just want our listeners to know how much I value you and what you do. And Eric is the man that makes the magic happen behind the scenes. And so I always like to honor everyone, and I like that word on purpose. And so I'd like to just visit with our listeners a little bit about what I do call getting out of the box. I gave a program here in Northern California in Berkeley. You've heard of Berkeley.
Yeah.
And have you been to Berkeley, Eric?
Oh, yes, of course.
You have? Did you go to school there?
No.
Well, Berkeley is really amazing. To me, it must be one of the oldest cities in Northern California, and there are a lot of artists, as we would imagine, and mm-hmm. a lot of different cultures that live there. And it was just very exciting to be at the Board of Realtors in Berkeley and present the course that I give, the Accredited Staging Professional course. And incidentally, before I introduce our guest, I would like to have everyone know that's listening that would you like to know more about the courses I teach? You can go to www.stagedhomes.com, and that's S-T-A-G-E-D-H-O-M-E-S, stagedhomes.com. And we're very excited about the courses that we give. They are wrapped around business skills, but also life skills. And one of the analogies that I use that we're doing right here on the show is that we stage our home to have stress-free living. And, Eric, it makes such a difference when you put away the clutter and reposition some of the items in your home, especially furniture and things. And then we can also stage our lives. And that's part of what I do on the show, too, because you think about our lives, and we can get our lives cluttered up, too. We overcommit sometimes, and we have a hard time finding ourselves because we're going six ways from Sunday, as the old saying says. And so in the course, we talk about that as well. And anyone that wants to find out more can either go to the website or they can call our toll-free number. And because time is of the essence, and I'm excited to introduce our guests as they come on the show, I'm going to give you that number now. It's 800-392-7161. So 800-392-7161. And that is to talk with me or talk with any of my staff about staging houses, staging your life, that kind of thing. And any of you listening that want to call in, too, for questions of myself or our special guest, Mary Gullickson, and later Dana Bieber, please call 866-439. Now, that's the station, 866-439-7287. So it's 439-7287, and we'd love to hear from you. So as we start thinking about decluttering our life, so to speak, one of the things that I like to visit with everybody about is what I call staying out of the box. And any of us can be in the box in 1 second and out of the box in another. And just figuratively speaking,
especially if we're cats.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, then we're in
really
and out of the
true.
Box
that's
all day.
Really true. That's really true, Eric. It's this invisible box that we kind of carry around, and on the inside of it is fear. And I don't know if you've ever heard this definition, but I call it false evidence appearing real, which is F-E-A-R for fear and false evidence appearing real. And so the things that you really want to create in your life are not in the box because that's where the fear lives and it keeps us from getting out there and making things happen. So, you know, it's not a bad thing to have fear when you cross the street if there are big trucks coming around, but it may be something you want to really look at when you're looking at making some career changes, health changes, just a lot of different things that go on in our lives, even, Eric, about the selection of certain choices.
Sure. Well, because, you know, it's just like FDR said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
That's so true. And I used to say, Eric, that we're only limited by our imagination, because I think I heard that somewhere a long time ago. And then recently I said that with a group, and I thought, you know, that's not true. That is not true, because the imagination is limitless.
Uh-huh.
So then I changed it to we're only limited by our fears.
Good.
Because the imagination is, I really view as eternal and limitless, and it's like this great flame that all of us have, and it continually is there. It's just whether we bury it in the box or not. So sometimes I'll say to people, excuse me, it's kind of like you're in the box. Have you thought about, you know, just stepping through the wall? It's invisible. You can just take a step.
Well, just like a cat, bury it in the box.
There you go. Only we don't want to bury it anymore. But that's what those kitties do. That's what they do for sure. And, well, you know, when we stage houses, we see that all the time. And our pets are something that we work with. And I know Mary, too, who's coming on shortly as a set decorator in Hollywood, works with the pets. They're there, and so setting the stage for Hollywood with the pets, I'm sure, is really interesting, too. Although she's not a pet trainer, her work is all-encompassing in many ways, I'm sure. So when we stage the house, we need to help figure out what to do with the kitties and the doggies and the bunnies and all those things. And I have pets, too. They're very important to me. My fur children, I call them. Eric, are you still there?
You bet.
Do you have any pets?
Not at the moment, but I've had several pets through the life, and you know.
I don't know. I don't think you've had too many. Do you like cats and dogs?
Oh, I love cats and dogs, of course.
I have two cats and a dog.
And this, everyone, is Kevin McDonald.
Yeah, Kevin.
Well,
Kevin Vaughn, I'm so glad to have you on, Kevin. How are you?
I've been listening here, just having a good time, just listening to the two of you. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. And are you well?
Of course.
Good, because we're headed into spring, and so it's so great to see the weather that we've got today. And I think it's up and down the whole West Coast.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful today. Record temperatures, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Have we set some kind of record?
That's right. The record was 74 degrees, but today it's was 75, so we have a new record today.
Yay.
Wow.
Record high.
That is wonderful. I have a little poem about spring. Do we have time before our commercial break for me to...
We have just about 30 seconds, so if you think you can do that in 30 seconds, then we'll be great.
Well, I think I can get part of it in, and it's a little bit of prose, and that's a good thing. It's called Spring's Voice May Be a Whisper as Winter Wanes, but the earth is pulsating. I love that word, with life. Ground that has long looked bare and soon sends forth new life. It rhymes, too. Like the earth, I awaken to the unlimited possibilities that life holds. And I explore new ideas, and that we need to get out of the box to do that. Experience new feelings and embrace the wonder of discovery that is stirring within me and all around me. I love that. Gentlemen, what do you think?
That's great.
Isn't that nice?
Perfect.
So the last part of it, and then I know we will be going everyone to commercial break, and stay tuned as we do that in a minute because we need our sponsors. And we love them to stay on the air. And the last part of this says, I weed out old ideas and feelings that prevent me from enjoying the entire landscape of possibilities. And I thought, wow, I've never thought of it that way. I clear the way for growth of new ideas and feelings, and I nurture them so that they will take root and thrive and bloom. And that's what's happening outside, isn't it, with our beautiful scenery that we are so blessed with.
Absolutely.
So, everybody, you stay tuned. We're going to be right back. We have a very special guest, Mary E. Gullickson, a set decorator in Hollywood who is also an accredited staging professional. It'll be my great joy to give Mary the opportunity to share with us what she does. So stay tuned, everybody. Welcome back, everyone, to Positive Choice Talk Radio. This is Barb Schwartz and Kevin McDonald.
Hey!
I'm so glad you're here, and we're so glad you're here, all of our listeners. This is Staging Life with Barb, and I am so glad you're tuning in. Whether you're listening live on the radio or listening live on streaming radio on the Internet, because we send out a large email every Friday, Kevin and Eric, to many, many listeners to help them get online to hear us all over the United States.
Well, we thank you for that.
Well, it's my joy, and we had an ad this last week that came out in the Whidbey Record, and so we are very blessed to have the people that tune in and listen. And one of my goals, everyone, is to start your week off on a real high. And then every week you say, I just need a Barb hit. Because
yeah.
That's what some of the people tell me when they come back to the course. Because the class I teach, they can come as many times as they want at no extra cost. They can repeat over and over again. And it is my distinct pleasure to introduce colleague, a friend, an accredited staging professional, and a really wonderful woman in my eyes and in the eyes of many others, and a set decorator in Hollywood, and her name is Mary E. Gullickson. Mary, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I love hearing your voice. How are you?
I am great here in sunny California with almost 90-degree weather.
Oh, my gosh. And you know, it's warm all the way up and down the West Coast from Seattle down to L.A.
That's, yeah, and I'm heading up to Eugene to start a new feature film on Wednesday.
You are. Now, I'm so excited to hear the latest and the greatest, and we're going to keep you on the air for a little bit today. And so I really want to thank you very, very much for scheduling your time frame around us. Thanks for doing that, Mary.
My pleasure.
Now, tell everybody what you do for a living.
I am a film and television set decorator. And I've just stepped away from one of the sets on the Universal backlot for The Practice. And what I do is I bring in all the things that make a space real. Like we just finished dressing a coffee house downscale. And, you know, we bring in the booths and the chairs and the sconces and the menu boards and all those little things that make a small-town diner real.
Wow. And how long? I know each one would take a different amount of time. I mean, what is the shortest amount of time it could take and the longest amount of time to put all this together? Because it's a lot of work.
These sets will take at least 2 to 5 days of shopping, and then usually like a day to dress and maybe like a couple hours to polish them off with all those small touches.
Hi, so. Mary. This is Kevin McDonald. I'm one of the hosts of the show, and I was just struck. You mean to tell me that your job is to go shopping?
Spend other people's money.
And how does one apply for this? I know I've got a whole bunch of listeners that are that their ears perked up when you said that.
I'm sure.
Let me tell you, everybody thinks this is a glamorous business, but I start my day at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'll close the stores down at 8 o'clock at night.
Oh.
It's a long day of hard work, isn't it, Mary?
It's a very, very tough job, yes.
Now tell us, who calls you to bring you in? I mean, how do you get your business built? How do people hear about you?
Well, this business is so much a word of mouth. And I can get a referral from another decorator. I can get a referral from a producer, art director, production designer. You just never know where you will get called in for your next job.
And how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this since 1990, and in this business, I'm a newbie.
Really?
Yes. Most of the people I know who are set decorators within the industry have been doing this for 30-some-odd years.
Wow. And how old are some of the oldest, would you say?
60s. And we've even got a decorator who does a show on a normal basis who's in his early 70s.
Wow. Wow, because it takes a lot of energy.
It
now,
does.
Tell everyone, where do you go to do this shopping?
Well, I always start at the studio prop houses. Universal Studios has a great prop house. Warner Brothers has one. Disney has one. And from there's some smaller privately owned prop houses. And if I can't find it at prop houses, I go from anywhere from thrift stores to Crate and Barrel.
Awesome. Awesome. So you have to keep up on really what's happening in the retail stores, too.
Yes, I get at least 3 to 4 magazines of flyers a day at home.
Cool. Now, tell us some of the movies and television shows you've worked on prior, because then later I'm going to ask you about where you're going in Oregon, but tell us some of the ones and what those experiences were.
Like I said, today I'm working on The Practice. There is a decorator who does this show full-time, and the script was so large that she brought in a second decorator, and we're dressing all the back streets of Universal to look like Boston, because The Practice is based in Boston. I've worked on Jersey Girl, which just, I think, was opened last Friday. I did the L.A. Part of that feature, and I've worked on Legally Blonde 2. I've done the Hughley's TV show and Movies of the Week most people have never heard of.
Now tell us how it was working on Legally Blonde 2.
I learned to love pink on that show. It was such a fun, great, you know, stretching the imagination show. It was such a great time. And Reese Witherspoon was just a doll to work with. And the sets were great. We did a salon where we put butterflies all over the walls, and we used orange paint on the wall, and it just bright colors and textures and really, really fun things to do.
Now, do you bring in painters to help you with that, or do you do that?
That's a separate department. I work strictly in bringing in the furniture and light fixtures and area rugs. And within the art department, there are scenics who come in that work under the guise of the art director or the production designer who do the scenic work.
Now, they're the ones that decide the walls are going to be orange.
The production designer will choose colors, yes, and sometimes I'll be brought in on those because I'll have found some fabulous furniture and we'll get inspired from a piece of fabric, a chair that we found, or they'll have something in mind before I even begin my shopping and research.
And tell everybody that's listening, because we have a number of ASP and ASPM graduates that have taken the course that are stagers, and then a lot of our listeners are interested in home staging. What do you see as the correlation between the two?
Well, for me, the difference between set decorating and staging is that as a decorator, I bring in character. I create character out of items. But the main thing when you are staging a home is you want to create space that is devoid of a lot of character, so that more people will be able to picture their own items in that space.
Uh-huh. Okay. And are you doing currently any home staging, or are you just so swamped with this right now?
Well, over the last several weeks, I got several calls for decorating, and so when that happens, and I didn't have anything currently staging, I'm not staging. So.
Okay. So right now you're doing some decorating jobs.
I'm doing set decorating.
Because we do have you on the site, and so I know I've referred at least one or two jobs this last year to you, and so with your many talents, there is such a crossover. So I've always been saying that decorating, you know, we personalize staging, we depersonalize. And so in the set decoration that you do in Hollywood or for television, then you are personalizing it really for what that script's going to be about, right?
Right. A character that is in that space or a certain, like for the practice, we're in the north end of town, which is a lower income bracket neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
So everything is a little more downgrade.
And where did you find the things there? Did you go to the same prop houses or did you go out into the community and buy things or...
Because it's a diner or a coffee house is fairly standard set dressing, most of the items were rented from a prop house, except for all of the goodies that we purchased at Costco for the bakery bin.
Ah, okay. Okay. Now, what's been the hardest one you can think of you've ever worked on?
I did a futuristic hospital that was on a spaceship.
Oh, my
God. So I had to create items from things today and morph them into items that looked futuristic that you didn't really know what they were.
Oh. Okay.
But I have to tell you that the fun thing about that was is that I went to the 99-cent store and got tons of items and then shrink-wrapped a lot of them and took the air out. So that you couldn't quite tell what they were, but they made great texture and color.
Oh, what a fabulous idea.
Yeah, I mean, you can get some great decorating ideas all the way from the 99-cent store up to high-end stores.
And when we stage homes, we do the very same thing because, in a sense, we're setting the stage for selling. And here you're setting it for the movies or television, and I love the creativity, and I see others as stagers and you with your business that we just thrive on that creativity of being able to express that. And I just can see you in all your glory doing all this.
And I think that the biggest thing that is alike for staging as in set decorating is that you have a budget and you have to be as creative possible within those boundaries.
And that really causes one's creativity to just soar. Mary, tell us a little bit about the project you're going to be going to Oregon to work on.
It's going to be based in Eugene, Oregon, and it's based on a Chekhov play called The Three Sisters. And so far we have Laura Dern and Chris O'Donnell starring in it. And it is going to be taking place in faculty on campus, a faculty room.
Wow.
So it's going to be pretty interesting. I'll be up there a couple months.
So you, I mean, you get in on the ground floor so much when this, for the action's first starting.
Absolutely, yes.
Because you're taking your lead then from what the script is and then what you need to create, right?
Correct.
And then so a couple of months that you're there, what all will you be doing? Tell us the whole thing from the beginning to when you come back to Southern California where you live.
For the first month, I will be what we call prepping. I will be preparing for the sets, shopping around the town to see what they have and what they don't have. I'll be looking at locations to see if they have anything available there. We're going to be shooting in a hospital. We will be shooting in a practical hospital, which means then that I'll have lots of things to pull. I can pull from the hospital itself. When you're not in New York or Los Angeles, there are no prop houses. So you have to go out into the real world and find those items. So you have to be very creative when you do that.
I bet. And like the second month, then what will you be doing?
The second month, we will be shooting 6 days a week, and rain or shine.
And so when they're shooting, Mary, is it your job to go and set up each scene before they do it?
Yes. I'm always ahead and behind of the shooting crew. So most of the time, the crew will bond and I get left out. But I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. Chairs and wallpaper and carpeting are art pieces to me. So I really enjoy what I do.
Now, when you're shooting a series, for example, when they are shooting the series and you've done the set decoration, I'm thinking about when I stage a house, I have to go back every week or 10 days to make sure it's still the way that I put it. So do you have to go back then to keep checking to make sure that someone hasn't moved things and made
usually,
the set not what it was when you did it?
Usually what will happen is in episodic TV, which is what the practice is, they will shoot this out in maybe 6-7 hours. And then we go in and we literally strike it and tear it all down.
And so what is that word you use? Something cherry. Episodic?
Most of it's not long-term.
Oh, I love that word. It'll be my new word. I'll replace plethora with episodic. I love it. Episodic, Kevin, that's a cool word.
Yes, it is.
I'm having episodic moments of shopping.
Are you having episodes again?
Yeah, I am. Marriott, God, that is so cool. So when you tear it all down, then what's your job? Do you have to take it all back?
No, that's what I have a crew for. That's the dirty stuff that I don't really have to get involved with.
That's a good thing, then.
It's a great thing. That's the thing that I dislike the most is striking.
So you have a crew.
I have a crew right now. Working over on the streets. I've got a lead man and six dressers.
And who pays them?
They're all paid from the production company. This is all a production cost.
Okay.
Okay,
so
Mary.
So different shows, you have different production people that break down and take the set apart?
You'll always have a set dressing crew because you've always got it. We have a 5-ton truck that goes and picks up all these items. And then the set dressers and the swing gang are the people who work with me and help me put the sets together. They help me put them together, and then they take them all apart, and then they return all those items to where we've rented them from.
Wow. That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and you have to be very organized. And like I said, it's not a glamorous job when you work those long hours.
Say that again, Barb.
What questions are you dying to ask Mary?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I've got a good one. See, first of all, you know, Mary, I know you're down in California, and Barb's down in California, and I'm just up here in Seattle, and really nobody's listening. So can you give me some dirt on any stars? It's just between us girls.
Okay, just between us couple people. I've worked with some really great people. I've worked with Tom Cruise, who was a delight, Tom Hanks. I worked with him on his direct directorial debut on Fallen Angels, as he did several years ago.
Yes.
I did a low-budget feature in Belize a couple years ago with Benjamin Brad and Julia Roberts when they were still a couple. And, you know, Benjamin was a delight, and Julia was very down to earth. And, you know, the practice. James Spader has always been one of my favorite actors. He's on this, and I hate to say this, but my heart goes a little flutter-flutter when he walks by.
I don't blame you.
But they're just, after all, they're just people, right?
You know what? For me, that is very true, because I see them when they're not in makeup, when they're in their sweats and their tennis shoes, and I'll see them when they're at perfect, you know, conversation with their lines, all dressed, and so they're just like you and I.
And they dress up pretty nice, but most of the time they're just normal folks.
That's absolutely right. They've got kids and families, and they've got to worry about when they get home to pick up their kids from daycare.
Now, do they bring their pets and children sometimes with them?
Yes. A lot of the bigger stars will have rooms or some type of a facility put into their waiting area. They've got dressing rooms or a trailer when they've got small children.
Yeah, Barb, not too long ago we had a guest on, and she's written the book, The Confessions of a Hollywood Nanny.
Uh-huh.
And they do. But they always have an entourage or a nanny or somebody take care of them most
always.
Of the time.
And just so that you know, when I leave for Eugene on Wednesday, my dog is flying with me.
Oh, very nice.
My baby.
Does he sit in the plane, or does he have to go in the belly?
Oh, no. She goes upstairs with me.
Good. I've never done that. And, you know, my stager, our Yorkie that just turned one. Remember I told you, Kevin, we were going to have a birthday party?
Yes.
We had the doggy birthday party of all the neighbors and their dogs. It was so fun. You would have loved it. I've never taken him on the plane. How do you do that? How hard or easy is that to do?
It's so great. My dog, I've been doing it with her since she was small, and I have a dog bag that I just throw on my shoulders. And I have to purchase a ticket, even though she just goes where my carry-on luggage would go underneath my feet. And she's great. She loves to travel. She knows we're on adventure. She doesn't bark. And 99% of the time, nobody even knows I have her.
Wow.
You don't have to buy a full-price ticket, do you?
Almost.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah,
the airlines get us fur parents really well.
And they figure you're from Hollywood, so what the heck, they can afford it.
Now, I want to, you know, Kevin asked about the dirt, which he's very good at humor, and I love him dearly. And, of course, I reminded him this is Positive Choice Talk Radio. So,
well, my choice was to talk about the dirt, you know.
I'm gonna choose to talk about Tom Cruise, and just for a minute, and just share with us, if you wouldn't mind, Mary, just some of the positive things that you see about Tom. I know that he's in the press a lot. He has his friends' beliefs. He has children. And just positive things that you've seen and heard him do because you've worked around him.
He was just really great with the crew. He tried to memorize everyone's name and what they did. And he went out of his way and purchased baseball hats on the segment that he did. Just very down to earth and pleasant, and treated everyone with respect. And to me, you can't get much better than that.
No, that's wonderful.
Just because he's got more money than God doesn't mean he has to be a jerk about it.
Exactly.
I just see him as that. He comes across the screen that way to me too. As I also, you know, Mary, share in my classes that we're each our own star in our own movie. And so where we go around to the grocery store and the hardware store and with our neighbors, we're on screen just like Tom maybe, only he's on screen where more people are seeing him. And there's just a lot of analogies there to me. So how we all act in our daily activities, when somebody's grumpy with us, how do we respond, or in traffic, or with the person that we're purchasing something from at the store. And it's just so great to hear about somebody that's so visible being that way, and I know many people like each of you do that are that way in their own lives, and it just emulates from them and affects everybody they're around. So that's really great to hear about, Tom.
Well, and real quick question for you is, is there a chance that someday we'll see you like picking up your Oscar?
Well, I did do an episode of Monster House that aired in December. It was the Christmas episode. And there's a chance I will be accepting an Emmy or an Oscar one day.
Mary,
because I work
so
both
fun.
Formats.
Very cool.
That is so great. Girl, you deserve it. I'll be your number one fan.
So I'll be looking in the movies to see Mary's name under the credits.
That's right. And I
well,
they
go by so fast anymore with TV. You really got to make sure you got good vision.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it's just such a treat to have you on the show, and I thank you, Mary, from the bottom of my heart for saying yes, and I know you had to rearrange your schedule, and at first it looked like you might not be able to be on, so I'm just really, really grateful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Barbara. I appreciate the work you do via staging and the positive love message that you send out there.
Thank you so much. I can't wait for you to come and see me in Northern California or on our cottage on Whidbey Island. You're always invited, and all we have to do is check our schedules to make sure each of us are in the same town at the same time.
So I will talk to you via email when I'm in Eugene.
All right, sweetheart. You take good care of yourself. God bless.
Thank you.
And Mary, the next time you see Tom, it's Positive Choice Talk Radio. Have him give me a call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, you call me first.
Okay. Well, actually, I think it would be all right if Nicole called me. But
well, there you
all
go.
All right, we got to take a break, everybody.
All right, Mary, thank you so much. I want to introduce our next special guest, and it's a joy to have her on the phone to be able to interview her for our station show, Staging Life with Barb. And this is Dana Bieber with Coldwell Banker from beautiful Whidbey Island. Dana, how are you?
I'm doing great, Barb. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. I'm so glad that you're on the show, and you are an accredited staging professional, and I wanted you to tell us about the real estate market right now. How is the real estate market on Whidbey Island?
Well, the real estate market on Whidbey Island has been really great. We've been really busy with a lot of buyers right now because the interest rate is at a very great rate. And a lot of people looking for second homes and also looking for first homes. And so that has kept us very busy the first quarter.
Now, tell us, is there a shortage of houses right now? Are there plenty to pick from? What's the inventory like right now?
There is a shortage right now of homes. Usually our season starts pretty much around April, and then we're real busy during the summer. But I think a lot of our sellers are just so happy where they live that they haven't thought about selling lately.
So if I wanted to come over, and I'm living in Bellevue, let's say, and I'm looking for a second home, and let's say that I want one on the water, because I know the prices are still less than buying something in Seattle on the water. So if I wanted to get a little cottage down on the water on Whidbey Island, and we're talking South Whidbey Island, what would be the range of the very lowest to the highest that I could look at?
Well, Barb, you could probably get something starting at about $375 on the water for the low end, and you can go, as you well know, up to $1 million, $2 million.
And that's incredible to me that you can still have a waterfront. And Kevin, that's so great. We're talking about waterfront on the Sound for now, $375 or $399.
Now, how much does it cost if you, like, can see the water from your house? And it may be from, like, you know, the bathroom or something like that, but because that's more like where I would need to be.
You mean a view property.
Yeah. That's typically, you know, view homes now are running pretty much about $250 on up.
Oh,
and
cool.
They're kind of hard to find right now, but we do have some, and it depends if you want the east side or the west side. The price range is different on whatever side you are on the island.
Now, Dana, do you find that the ferry is an obstacle for home sales up there?
You know, I don't think so. We have an 18-minute ferry ride, and the ferry runs every half hour.
Yes.
And the ferries have always, you know, pretty much stayed on time, and we have very few breakdowns. And my husband commutes every day into Seattle, so you just make it work.
Absolutely. Well, my parents live there. That's why. So I'm very, very acquainted with the area.
Yeah. Well, it's just a choice of life over there.
Yeah, it's really true. It really is true. Can you hear me, Dana?
I can.
Okay, sweetie. One of my missions is to really let the world know, especially the Seattle greater area, about Whidbey, because a lot of the prices, Kevin, and I know Dana knows this, on Bainbridge Island and Gig Harbor and some of these other places, Port Townsend, have really gone high. And to find the same waterfront on Bainbridge can cost a lot more money. And so the quality of life on South Whidbey is so beautiful and so peaceful. And to be able to commute, as Dana's husband does, or have a second home there, because you can do either, and still be in that affordable range, and especially with the low interest rates, is just wonderful. So I know, Dana, that buyers that you see, they come from many areas of the country. Where do the most come from?
I would have to say the most come from California right now, we're seeing, still. You know,
really?
They came up in the late 80s, early 90s, and they have just kept coming.
And are they retiring there?
Yeah, they're basically retiring here, and a lot of people also from the east side, Bellevue, Kirkland area, just because they can sell their larger home, perhaps buy a smaller downsized home here, still have the waterfront or the water view, and then they can travel as well.
And then they're going to have some money left over.
Yeah.
Because they sell the big house, and then buy maybe even a third or two-thirds, or, well, half, really, of the price, in some cases, not all. You know, we just bought a listing out of your office. It'll be about a year in August. And, Kevin, we got what you're talking about. It's two bedrooms and a den, and most homes there are two-bedroom because of the septic regulations. And there's still another room, like the den, for $260,000, and it has a gorgeous view. And I think, Dana, that property's probably worth more already.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you got a great deal, Barb. That was a cute little place.
Yeah, we really love it. And we had the bigger house, as Dana knows, because we used to be neighbors, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Just down the street. And I still feel like you're my neighbor no matter where I am.
I'm
your friend,
I am.
I'm so proud of you as an accredited staging professional, because what I see you doing in the market over there is really carrying out what I've shared with you in the classes that you've taken with me. You're staging houses. And tell everybody the impact you feel that makes for the seller.
Well, I think my business partner, Susan Anderson, and I have really noticed that when we go to a listing and we show them our staging book and our presentation and what we can do just off the bat to help them get their home in order, and we have just noticed a tremendous response with it, and the house shows better, and they get the necessary work items done prior to an inspection, let's say. And then they know that the buyers also feel, I think, that they know that the house has been well taken care of, and they've gone the extra step to get the home prepared for sale. And it really has worked for us.
That is so great. And I see your ad, and everyone listening, the Whidbey paper is really fun to take. It's not very much money a year to subscribe, and it's called the Whidbey Record. And you put an ad in every month. Tell everybody about that ad. I know about it, but they don't. So what is that ad?
Well, my business partner and I have put an ad in the Whidbey Record and also in the Whidbey Marketplace. And we feature staged home of the month. And through our sellers, we put their home up, and we have little staging tips also in the ad. And sometimes we'll put a home up and we'll say how much they can purchase the home for and that the home has been staged. And we get a lot of calls on that.
That is so great. You're really serving the buyers and the sellers, and you're also serving the real estate market and industry in the best way possible. And I'm just really proud of who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thanks, Barb. You know, it was all because of you, and you showed us the way. And we always love to take classes, and we're thinking about coming down to California getting another shot of Barb soon.
Well, there you go. And, you know, I want to share with you and tell Susan, and I want our listeners to know that we have our staging convention coming up in, this time it's in the San Francisco Bay Area in a place called Walnut Creek, May 19th to the 22nd. And it's going to be, Kevin, 3.5 days. And Dana, gosh, I'd love you to come. It's going to be staging and great ideas, and the American Heart Association is going to be there, and we're going to donate part of the proceeds to the American Heart Association. It's just going to be a wonderful event. We're going to be putting a lot of that online, and we already have our site, which is IAHSP.com, I for International, A for Association, H for Home, and S for Staging, and P for Professional.com. And so if that works into your schedule, Dana, guys, it'd be great to have you come down.
Yes, we'll try, Barb. You know, we always love to see you.
Well, it'd be our joy. And Dana, Kevin, Dana's going to go on a cruise to Belize with her husband for their 15th wedding anniversary. Is that true?
I am.
Congratulations.
Isn't that great?
Barb, we've got a minute left.
All right. Well, Dana, I want to thank you so much, and I want to give everybody your phone number. And Dana's phone number is 360, that's the area code on WIDBY, 221-0167, that's her direct line, that's 360-221-0167. So if you're thinking about buying a place on WIDBY Island or selling a home that you have on WIDBY, do give Dana and her partner Susan a call. And it's just a joy to have you on the show. I want to thank you, Dana, for being here so much. Dana Beaver.
Thank you, Barb.
It's just a joy, and I look forward to talking with you soon. And I want to tell you, Kevin, thanks for being there on my Staging Life with Barb Hour, as well as Eric. Thank you both, gentlemen.
Always
a pleasure, right?
We love it, and next week we have another exciting guest, and I'm going to have Dana back in the future and Mary back in the future. So we hope all of our listeners have enjoyed today. And I want to leave you with a Chinese proverb that I love that says, the flowers of all our tomorrows are in the seeds of today. Isn't that great?
Have a great day, everyone.
So plant great seeds. Take care. Thanks for listening.